Welcome into the 5 o'clock hour of this Friday edition of News on the Hill. I am Brighton McConnell. It has turned into a rainy, rainy edition. Rain absolutely pumping down in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and across our entire region right now. We are under a severe thunderstorm warning in Orange, Chatham, Durham, and Wake County until about 5:30 today. That is according to the National Weather Service. Pretty easy to see why. We are hearing thunder, seeing a good bit of lightning, lots of rain coming down, and some potential for hail. We've seen some high winds, some branches falling down here at University Place, and water really gathering up very quickly. Do your best to stay inside and away from windows, according to the National Weather Service. And if you are out on a car and can't see, it might be best to just pull on over until this comes through. Again, that severe thunderstorm warning under effect until 5:30 today. We will continue to keep you updated on your weather and, of course, take a look at how our roads are doing later on in the hour. We begin our other local news, though, with some tragic news out of northern Orange County. A Hillsborough man died early Thursday from a hit-and-run collision with a vehicle, according to the North Carolina State Highway Patrol. A release from that group today said that 28-year-old John Lewis Aldridge of Hillsborough died after suffering injuries from a collision on Wilkerson Road. Troopers responded to the crash site at around 6:35 a.m. on Thursday, and the release said the vehicle that struck Aldridge, who was a pedestrian, was traveling south on that road. Currently, the suspect, as well as the vehicle's make and model number, are unknown, but the State Highway Patrol is requesting anyone with information related to the incident or who might have seen anything Wednesday night until Thursday morning to contact their Raleigh Communications Center by phone. You can find a number for that by heading to chapelboro.com and checking out our news article on the same story. Turning to UNC campus, the community continues to rally for a safer and more inclusive space for its Black students and staff. One element of this is the Black Student Movement recently sending a list of demands to university leadership for immediate action. One of those is the creation of a permanent memorial for James Cates Jr. And recently, there has been a larger push to recognize Cates with the renaming of the Student Stores building in his honor. 97.9 The Hill's Elk Harris has more.
James Cates Jr., a 22-year-old Chapel Hill resident, was stabbed to death by members of a white supremacist biker gang near UNC Student Union in November of 1970. According to the James Cates Memorial Committee, a coalition created by the Black Student Movement, police failed to provide life-saving medical treatment to Cates in a timely manner, ultimately leading to his death. Over the past year, there's been a big push, chiefly by the Black Student Movement, to rename the Student Stores after Cates. The Student Stores building was previously named after white supremacist Josephus Daniels, until the Board of Trustees voted to remove the name last July. The James Cates Memorial Committee sent a proposal to Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz to rename the Student Stores building after Cates on June 15th. This Thursday, July 8th, the Chancellor's Advisory Committee for Naming University Facilities and Units met to review potential name changes, which may include the renaming of the student stores. Any considerations brought up by the Advisory Committee during that meeting, which was predominantly held in closed session, could be heard at the next Board of Trustees meeting July 15th. Donna Jones, chair of the Carolina Black Caucus and president of the Chapel Hill Carrboro NAACP, said whether it's fighting to award Nicole Hannah-Jones a tenured position at UNC or condemning buildings named after white supremacists, it all adds up to a large racial reckoning that has been years in the making.
So again, when we think about racial reckoning, the James Cates renaming of student stores is a part of that. We owe it to the family, to the legacy of James Cates, to honor him in that way. And that is not separate from the conversation around, systemic racism in Black faculty and staff and students, alumni, and community members. I think what we often lose is in the conversation is that we parcel out. Many times you'll hear just about Black faculty. You don't often hear about staff, administrators, alumni. But our community members are the people who laid the bricks to build this university, and we cannot leave them out of the conversation.
The same day the renaming proposal was submitted to the university by Black student movement leaders, the Orange County Board of Commissioners voted unanimously to support the James Cates building. Multiple county commissioners said to remain silent on this issue and to not endorse the renaming proposal would be an injustice, including Commissioner Mark Dorison.
we have taken repeated public stands about racial equity and against white supremacy. James Cates was murdered by white supremacists on the UNC campus. The people that are pushing this change are longtime residents of our community and constituents. You know, I can't remember the exact quote that Dr. King said about, you know, the silence of white liberals, but this is one of those occasions where I don't think we can afford to be silent.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Elle Karras.
And in some other news from UNC campus, a chief fundraiser for the school, David Routh, who is a true university official, I should say, has quit a side job he took on recently as an advisor to a Charlotte investment firm. This comes from reports from the News and Observer, who had the story from the beginning on this new position for Routh. And they also interviewed officials that had raised concerns about that arrangement as a potential conflict of interest. Republican State Senator Leader Phil Berger even weighed in on this, calling for Routh to step down at UNC before Routh made this announcement that he was indeed leaving that Charlotte firm. And looking at local government, we are halfway through the local election filing period here in Orange County, with races up for Chapel Hill and Carrboro Town Councils, as well as in the government at Hillsboro and the CHCCS School Board. There is no shortage of seats, and we've already seen a good amount of candidates file. But we are halfway there, still another week to go. Some of the latest folks to formally enter their races: current town council member Damon Siles filed to run for Carrboro Mayor, and business owner Asia Keller filed to run for Carrboro Town Council. If you want a continuously updating look at who is filed to run in local elections in Orange County, be sure to check out our article on chapelboro.com, and we will be updating that even sooner with anyone who has filed to run today. Looking at sports, breaking news on the men's basketball side: Hubert Davis, the head coach for the program, has landed his first five-star recruit in his head coaching era. Five-star 2022 forward Jalen Washington has committed to Carolina, he told One Recruits just a few minutes ago, about half an hour or so ago. This was a target of Davis's almost from the first few weeks of him coaching, according to Inside Carolina, which is sharing more on Jalen Washington as we speak. He is a 6'9 forward from Gary Westside High School in Indiana, and assistant coach Sean May was the lead recruiter in Washington's case, since May is from Indiana. And Washington is described as a very versatile all-around player, good shooter, overcame an ACL injury in his sophomore year of high school to have a very strong junior season, will play one more year in high school before arriving on the Carolina squad in 2022. Looking forward to learning more about him and the second player that the Tar Heels have landed in 2 days, as Dawson Garcia announced he was transferring from Marquette to Hubert Davis and the Tar Heels yesterday. That move is now official, as announced by the men's basketball program. Pen to paper, Garcia will be in a Carolina uniform next year, it appears. The Minnesota native was former AAU teammates with Kerwin Walton, and the 6'11 forward was previously recruited by Carolina coming out of high school. Turning to football, the NCAA's recent decision to allow athletes across all three divisions to monetize their name, image, and likeness represents a big shift in the landscape for college sports. UNC football head coach Mack Brown went into detail about how his program is aiming to navigate these uncharted waters during a conversation with the media on Thursday. Brown shared some ways his staff is going to try and help players learn, and some ways that UNC has already taken steps to do so across all of their athletics. 97.9 The Hill's Avery Trendle has more.
Prior to the NCAA's decision, UNC Director of Athletics Bubba Cunningham already announced the beginning of the school's Launch program, which is a collaborative effort to help educate student athletes on their personal branding and potential name, image, and likeness opportunities. Although North Carolina has yet to pass a law regarding the issue, there were 9 states with laws that went into effect on July 1st. This essentially forced the NCAA's hand in order to prevent student-athletes in those states, a group including Florida, Alabama, and Texas, from gaining an unfair advantage. UNC had been anticipating the NCAA's move and chose to get out in front of it. Brown noted, however, the Tar Heels had some catching up to do on all the details of the new rules compared to schools which already had state laws in place.
You have to start with compliance, because if a young man makes a poor decision and doesn't have it properly approved, he can be ineligible.
Brown also noted that the program has a dedicated email hotline for players to use and learn if a potential deal falls within compliance rules. In addition, the head coach touched on some other important aspects of the rules, such as dealing with agents and how much of the money players receive will actually be theirs to spend.
They also have to start looking at state taxes and federal taxes, and do their parents still have them as a dependent? Because if they make a deal and it's on their parents' taxes and the parents don't know it, then there could be some liabilities later on. So they're having to learn a lot of grown-up things here very quickly.
Although players are now allowed to profit off their names, Brown said he is stressing to his team that the same opportunities won't be available to everybody. He said Thursday performance on the field and behavior off the field is what will dictate how players earn more branding opportunities. The head coach also said he tells players outside of a few special athletes, the money available through name, image, and likeness during a player's time at UNC will be far less than what can be earned later on with a degree from the school. Coaches won't have any direct role in getting opportunities for players to avoid favoritism and compliance issues, according to the NCAA, but Brown did say he would like to find ideas that could help the team as a whole.
We feel like that is more beneficial to our team because the Sam Howells of the world are going to make their deals and they're going to make their money. But the backup right guard, what can we do to help him? And is that through maybe jersey sales? Is that through video games? What can we do to share the money with all of our players?
Brown has also reached out to the Chamber for a Greater Chapel Hill Carborough and set up a meeting between them and UNC's NIL staff to figure out the best way to facilitate opportunities with local businesses. For a Hall of Fame coach who's accomplished everything there is to under the old ways, Brown is doing everything he can now to adjust and get his team ready for this massive change, with a little help from his wife, Sally, as well.
I like amateurism. I like college football the way it was. But Sally helped me and said, all we're doing is allowing the student athletes to have the same privileges as the regular students, because there are no more extra benefits. And that makes sense to me.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Avery Trendle.
To wrap things up here on sports, one note about a former UNC men's basketball player. Cameron Johnson added 8 points for the Phoenix Suns off the bench last night in their 118-108 win over the Milwaukee Bucks. They are playing in the NBA Finals, and with that win, the Suns now take a 2-0 lead in the series. The Carborough Town Council recently held a public hearing on the latest updates of the South Greensboro Street sidewalk project. The proposed designs for the project span roughly from the public works facilities to Carr Street in downtown. 97.9 The Hill's Ava Bukach has more on the status of the project.
The Carborough Town Council has gotten a lot of feedback on the South Greensboro Street sidewalk project over the past several years since its approval. An early debate, according to Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, was on which side of the street the sidewalk would be constructed.
And it became clear pretty early on that it was going to be on the west side, which is the side where there's kind of currently a dirt path already. So you know that people use that side.
Lavelle said this pathway gives access to Old Pittsboro Road, the Rocky Brook Mobile Home Park, and other apartments in the area. The new sidewalk path is set to be at least 5 feet wide. Some sections of the sidewalk, which do not impact residential property, will have a grass strip between the path and curb. The June 22nd Carborough Town Council meeting included information about where potential crosswalks along the path may lie. Town staff said the current proposed crossings include at the NC-54 on-ramps, across Old Pittsboro Road at the roundabout, and across Old Pittsboro Road at the northern end of the street. In addition, Lavelle told 97.9 The Hill the town is examining other crosswalks to make it more convenient and safe for pedestrians to cross mid-street.
It's not absolutely ideal what works best, because we did have some discussion about the fact that people go up and down that part of Greensboro Street really fast.
The town council asked the project team to check with the State Department of Transportation to determine if it could be possible for a mid-street crossing on South Greensboro Street. In addition to the new sidewalk, the project team requested NCDOT to narrow the lanes on South Greensboro Street under NC-54 to accommodate a bike lane. This would allow bicyclists access to the Roberson Bike Trail or to Old Pittsboro Road to continue into downtown. The designs for the South Greensboro Street sidewalk project are in a 65% design status, according to town staff. The project team said they will accept comments on this design through August. Final plans for the South Greensboro Street Sidewalk Project are expected to be submitted in April 2022, with construction set to begin in summer 2022. For 97.9 The Hill, I am Ava Pukic.